Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Peter Llewellyn. I run the services at medcomsnetworking.com. So you'll find information, resources, activities for people who work in and around medical communications, medical education, medical publishing, and the associated businesses. One of the things I've done for the last few years, or I've tried to do, is support Medcoms freelancers. And you'll find at Medcoms Workbook, there's a service which is all about trying to support them and send on work opportunities and so on. But a big part of that Medcoms Workbook service is the idea that it's useful for people to be part of a network and a community, share information, to share ideas, to educate each other, to support each other, and so on and so forth. But there's lots of little groups out there around the world. Some of them are big formal groups: EMWR, European Medical Writers Association, AMWR, ISMAP, etc., etc. Okay. What I'm particularly interested in are the individuals around the world who are doing things a little bit more informally. I've just published a paper in the June issue of Medical Writing, which is EMWR's journal. It's just come out. Go and look at the EMWR website, and you'll find the journal section very easily. And what I was trying to do was gather together some information on people around the world who run different sorts of activities, because nothing suits everybody. Okay. So today I've got three of you from across the globe, and that's absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and then talk a little bit about the sorts of activities that you run. And we'll explore a little bit the benefits as we see it, of people joining in with these activities. Okay. Anybody in the audience, please fire some questions at us. Lisa, I'm going to ask you to begin with. Just paint a little bit of a picture. Who are you? Where are you? And your position in life, as it were, before we get onto the details of the community.
Sure thing. I'm Lisa Baker. Peter, thanks so much for doing this. I've been a medical writer for 17 years in industry. I came out of academia, like many of us, and I focus on publications. For the first 11 years, I worked in Medcoms agencies, and for the last 6 years, I've been a freelancer. I'm also going to mention that, because it's going to be relevant, that I've also been a longtime active member of the International Society for Medical Publication Planning, ISMAP, which is the industry group for medical publications. So that'll become relevant in a minute.
Excellent. But that just sets a little bit of a scene. So thank you. Rebecca, same question to you.
Hi, everyone. And thank you, Peter, for the invitation. So my name is Rebecca, and I'm based out down south in Cape Town, South Africa. I guess I'm the newest member in terms of being in Medcoms in the group. So I've been in Medcoms just slightly over a year and a half, and been a freelance medical writer for just about half of that time. I joined Medcoms coming from academia after a long stint of just over 12 years as an academic and a biomedical researcher. And yeah, so that's basically my background, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Okay, thank you very much. Perfect. Amanda, same question to you.
Hello from my corner of the world, and thanks, Peter. I'm Amanda Mao, based in Melbourne, Australia. I've been running my business called Accurate for 7 years and counting. So what we do is we provide bilingual Chinese medical communication services, including project management, medical translation, and bilingual Chinese medical writing. So my story is, originally I was in China and I was working for industry, including Pfizer, for 8 years. And when my family moved to Australia 8 years ago, I looked for employment at first. However, companies kept asking for local experience, which I didn't have. And then I kept applying for jobs. And then one day I thought, why do I go apply for jobs under the mercy of an employer? Why don't I become my own boss? So then I started my business in bilingual Chinese medical communications. And now I'm the main operator in my business, and I have a small team supporting me. I also work with specialist contractors. So that's my background and business.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So I'm interested in what you're doing with your communities. Okay. Let's use that as a general expression, right? I've said that I run the Medcoms workbook, and an important part of that is the community aspect, as I see it anyway. It's allowing freelancers to talk to each other a little bit behind closed doors, And there's information sharing and mutual support and so on and so forth. I think that's really important. But it's also very apparent very quickly when you do anything like this that nothing suits everybody. And there are different ways of going about this. There are different things that people are looking for and so on and so forth. So let's hear a little bit about how you're doing it, what you're doing and for who. And I'm going to go now reverse order. I'm going to start with Amanda. I'm going to tell the little story, if that's okay, Amanda, because I quite like it. Okay? I got a bit overly excited a few years ago about Zoom before most people knew about it, to be honest. And as an individual, Zoom transformed the work that I was doing. I was talking to people and doing things with people all over the world via video conferencing, which opened up all sorts of possibilities for me. And cut a long story short, there were a bunch of writers in New Zealand who were talking about, wouldn't it be nice to talk to each other and meet each other? And I used to sit there on LinkedIn and go, well, just get on and do it, basically. Okay. And they said, Peter, it's a big country. We're not just next door to each other and so on. And at some point in there, I said, come on, let's get on this thing called Zoom. And over a couple of years or so, I ran several meetings where I would be sitting in Oxford late on a Sunday night with a glass of whiskey in my hand, and a bunch of people over in New Zealand and the area were joining in with their cups of coffee the next morning, sort of thing. And I thought that was really, really useful, and people found some value in that. And then quite quickly, it became apparent it was going to be more than just New Zealand medical writers, because anyone could join in. So it became a bit more regional. It also became apparent that really it should be done better by people who were over there. So Amanda, pick up the story from there, because you then sort of volunteered to make it work properly, didn't you?
Yeah, thank you, Peter. So I realized that there is a gap in the MedComms community in the Asia Pacific region. On the one hand, we need to stay up to date with the latest trends, best practices, and regional and global developments. And on the other hand, people, especially freelancers, want to build relationships, exchange ideas, and learn from each other. For myself, service is one of my core values, and I'm passionate to serve this community. And then also new people come to me from time to time on LinkedIn wanting to enter the field. Our group, by the way, our group is called Asia Pacific MedComm Network. And it can be one of the platforms for them to learn about the field. So to pick up your story, that's why when you, Peter, was retiring the New Zealand Medical Writers Group and asked who would like to take over, I gladly raised my hand and started from there. From the beginning, I know I can't do it alone. Thanks to all my past and current co-organizers. Together with Daniel McGowan, we organized the first event in June 2021. Now with the three of us, Steve Inglis from Oxford from Genesis, and Blair has performed First in Human. Blair, as a lot of us know, is from New Zealand. So we continue to have New Zealand people in here. We bring more value to participants, including freelancers. I can talk more about it, about what we bring to participants, Peter. But from this year, we also have a new branding and a LinkedIn company page, and it's more visible to the community. And we hope to continue to bring value to the community in APAC.
Excellent. And just a couple of points, just to be sure we've covered it. Anybody can join.
Yes.
Group. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is about, yeah. This is so, with one eye on the freelancers, but we're very keen to get freelancers involved in this group, but it's not a freelancers only group, is it?
No. Yeah. If I can expand on that, we hold quarterly Zoom events, lasting for an hour. The format is presentation followed by networking in breakout rooms, because we believe that interaction among participants is an important feature that we foster. Currently, we are online only and open and free to anyone interested in or already working in and around MedComms, including freelancers and employees. Employees can include pharma employees and agency employees. So we have different types of people, including freelancers.
Perfect. And I'm stressing that point a little bit, and I will with everybody. You know, the groups are set up in different ways, you know, and freelancers I would encourage to be members of relevant groups, but there are different ways of running it. You know, you might want to be a member of just a freelancers group because there's stuff you can talk about amongst freelancers, and it helps sometimes to talk without the clients there. There are other groups that you become part of, and you, I mean, frankly, it's a networking opportunity, it's a business development opportunity, and so on. I'm hoping Rebecca's going to pop back up very quickly because I wanted to go to Rebecca next. Are we online, Rebecca?
Hi, I'm back, Peter.
Okay, that scared me a little bit. Okay, Rebecca, I wanted to come on to you next. And again, tell us your story. And you know, tell us about the group you're running and why you're running it and how that's going.
Okay, thank you. Thanks again, Peter. So one of the things that I quickly noticed when I started my company, PsyHealth Communications, it just dawned on me how lonely it was to work as a freelancer. You have the plus side, obviously, of managing your time and being in control, which is I wanted to do, having come from an academic background. But it really is quite lonely. And so I thought to myself, well, why not build a community around me? And so I started looking out online to see if there were any other freelancers in South Africa. And there's not an awful lot because in South Africa, Medcoms is very new. So there's just a handful of people. So I went ahead anyway and created the Medcoms group on LinkedIn, and I just advertised it and asked people to join. The idea initially was to get freelancers to connect. But before long, I also realized that there was interest from other people who were still working in, who were in employment, because like I said, for the same reason, there are very few medical writers. So everybody wants to have a sense of community. So then I just opened it up. And so up to now, we have a group of more than 50 people who have joined the group, which is really nice. So it's growing nicely. In terms of what we do, most of our activities and interactions is online. And recently, we had the most, the biggest event that we had so far was the SA Medcoms Day, which we held online. And I collaborated with Inizio, Toniette Lorbankle, I hope I got the name right. She works for Inizio. And so we partnered and we collaborated and we held an event on the 21st of June. Actually, it was a little bit later. So yeah, I think we are growing, and the plan is obviously to move hopefully into some in-person events and more interactions and that sort of thing. But South Africa is quite big geographically, and it's quite hard to get everybody together. So we might just start with a smaller group in Cape Town, because that's where the majority are, and continue to build the community from there. And also, if I must add, we also have plans of creating, hopefully maybe with Emoa, to start kind of like an offshoot of a Pan-African Medical Writers Association, almost like your Emoa, your Amoa, but for Africans more broadly. So that is in the pipeline and it's exciting. We're looking forward to that.
Excellent. I do think it's interesting. And what's your view on this? So I'm simply observing. It seems over the last year or so that there's just a lot more people are talking about Medcoms in South Africa. You know, is that because there is a business that's developing quickly out there? Or is it because someone like you started talking about it and sort of attracting people to the idea of talking about it? Do you see what I mean?
Yep, I do. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a combination of that, Peter, yeah. Because I've been making a lot of noise online about Medcoms and getting a lot of people excited and interested, and I get a lot of inquiries from people. But also there's been growth in the industry. And one group there's a handful. I know somebody posted on the chat and was asking, are there any companies that are hiring in South Africa? I know there's a handful. IPG Health, which is the company I used to work for, I know they're hiring in South Africa. There's also the Publicis Group or something, which is also coming up. But then to top it off, Inizio has grown really very quickly. And from my conversations with colleagues who work there is that there's almost 200 medical writers employed in South Africa working for Inizio. So I think that is part of the reason why there's a lot more publicity and awareness of the MedComms profession in South Africa.
Okay. It also intrigues me a little bit that, and to be honest, a number of people that I talk to around the world start a group like you've started, Rebecca, and there is that ambition, you know, maybe we could turn this into an association, maybe we could, you know, it becomes the, et cetera. And I'm very keen on the idea that we keep things simple, and associations have a great place, and it's important they're around, but I personally don't rush in the direction of setting up another association sort of thing. But again, it's also just interesting to think about this and for people to think about it, because in regions, there's a need for localization, you know, in South Africa or in Africa. Why not have an association there if there isn't one already? So I just find those sorts of that sort of thinking interesting, and good luck to you. So it'll be interesting to see where the ambitions lead. And Lisa, I'm going to bring you in. You're a little bit the new guy on the blocks, I think, in terms of what you're trying to do with the freelancers that you're trying to work with. And of course, you have got an association with ISMAP. Okay, so without stealing your thunder, I do love what you're doing and what you're doing for that particular group of freelancers. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing and why and how.
True, it's all happened very fast this year. So I mentioned that I'm an active member of ISMAP for years. I've been a committee chair. And so people at ISMAP like know who I am. Since I went freelance 6 years ago, when I would go to ISMAP meetings, I suddenly became acutely aware. I felt like I was the only freelancer in the building. You could have 600 people there, and I would struggle to identify even one other freelancer. So that was, as Rebecca says, that was lonely. And I was puzzled. I think part of the reason is that ISMAP meetings are kind of pricey. They're mostly attended by MedComms agency employees and pharma company employees, and their companies are paying the bill. So this year, when the annual meeting in Washington was announced for April, it was announced in December, and it was $1,650 just to register. And then I live in Montana, out in the Rocky Mountains. So additionally, I would have the air travel and the hotel. And to me, it was just like too much. And I actually wrote to the CEO, Rob Mathias, and I said, I'm sorry, Rob, I'm just priced out. I can't do this anymore. So to my surprise, Rob wrote back and said, I'll offer you a 40% discount off of registration if that would enable you to attend. So then, of course, I had to attend. But he also gave me permission to quietly spread the word about the discount, which I did, and sort of word of mouth. And we ended up with 12 freelancers that I'm aware of who attended the annual meeting in April. We all went out to dinner, and I kept seeing all of these folks, you know, during the meeting. And I was like, just so excited because I had friends there, you know, freelance friends. So I came back, and Rob Mathias in particular and the organization were really encouraging about this. Rob was so excited. He said, look, you got all these freelancers to come. Can we get them? Can we engage more with freelancers? What can we do for them? So there was a lot of momentum. So I came back from the meeting this May, 2 months ago. And the first thing I did was create a email list that's called Freelancers in Pubs. So any freelancer who works in publications, even if that's not their only thing, or wants to work in publications, is welcome to join this email list. We're up to 140 freelancers, and that's just in the space of, you know, 6 weeks. And so anyone on the line today, you know, just, you know, reach out to me on LinkedIn. You are welcome to join this email list. The primary reason for the list is to convey opportunities like that meeting discount from ISMAP to people, right, who may not be ISMAP members right now, which is fine. Forward going, the organization is saying that they're planning to offer meeting discounts to freelancers for all meetings, for, you know, the European meeting in January, for the Asia Pac meetings when they occur. So this email list is quite international, actually. I've got people from all over the world, maybe half are Americans, but they're global. So that's the effort, and I'll talk more about what else has happened, but, you know, it's also growing into, I think, a broader community to create community and communication among freelancers who work in publications worldwide.
Yeah, which is the gap, isn't it? And I have tried to support you from where I am. I think there is a gap there for specifically that for freelancers who work in pubs. Let's not go too far with it because we shouldn't do. But you know, ISMAP have effectively said they are supportive of it, and there are opportunities certainly in the future for things like meetings discounts and so on. Which is, you know, let's be honest about it, as freelancers. You know, everybody worries a little bit how much money they're going to spend and how they're going to spend it and so on. I'm always at the end of the line saying, spend a bit, you know, invest in your business. But there are limits. And for organizations like ISMAP to open up their doors and say, well, we can try and make it a bit easier for you to come in, I think is hugely, hugely useful. So that's great. But just to be clear, this isn't an ISMAP group. This is a freelancers in pubs group, yeah, with a connection with ISMAP. And there's other stuff that you're trying to do as a freelancers in pubs group. So again, let's just keep talking. Let's talk a little bit about the sorts of things that you're going to do as a group. I think you've recently had an online meeting, for instance. Talk a little bit about how that went.
Yeah, right. So it is I am in a weird situation because I'm not a paid employee of ISMAP, and this is not an official ISMAP organ, but it is getting a lot of support from the ISMAP staff. So some of the initiatives that happened on the ISMAP side, and this all happened, you know, in the last couple of months, was ISMAP created an online freelancers community that now has 55 people who are ISMAP members who are in this ISMAP. This is an ISMAP thing, right? Is the ISMAP freelancers community. It's located off of the ISMAP website. So it's a chat board, and it'll be an opportunity for people to be able to connect in the future when they're going to meetings, for example. And ISMAP also did the initiative recently of making their membership directory searchable so that any ISMAP member can locate other ISMAP members who are consultants or freelancers. So in other words, so they can hire us, right? So those are ISMAP initiatives, and ISMAP may also be offering some help to us to get the CMAP credential, the credential for medical publication planning. So stay tuned for that. It's not official yet. So ISMAP's doing those things. Yeah. And I'm communicating those things on behalf of ISMAP, again, just because I want to, you know, just because I can. On my side, yeah. So in last month, I held the first monthly Zoom call for freelancers and publications, which was awesome. We had about 17, 18 of us called in, again, from India to California. Unfortunately, Asia is kind of out of reach in terms of time zones, and I'm so sorry for that. But we did get a large range of folks from different parts of the world, and we actually did some agenda setting and set up, I think, some like awesome topics for monthly calls for at least the next, you know, till the end of the year. We'll keep going after that, of course. But you know, part of it was interest in ISMAP stuff, and part of it was interest in how do you run your business as a freelancer in publications? How do you market? Where do you get your clients? How do you rate your projects? So there's a niche here to the earlier conversation about like specializing or being a generalist. I mean, some of us, you know, really see value in being very skilled in a specific part of medical writing, i.e. publications. And we have, you know, a particular experience in terms of the clients we work with. So I think that's good. I mean, I have dreamed of this personally. Like Rebecca says, you know, freelancing is lonely, and it's lonely when you live in Montana. So I've personally, you know, I'm so energized to create this community that I've wished that I had for so many years. So.
And to be brutally frank, you've just got up one morning and said, I'm going to do this.
And 6 weeks later. Peter was kind enough to like connect with me when this was just a baby idea. And I was saying to Peter on the phone, I don't know. I don't really have a huge vision for this. I don't really know what I'm going to do. And like 3 days later, I'm like announcing this email list. And then, you know, people are just giving me pointers, you know. It was like, well, you need a platform for your email, you know, list. And I was like, okay, I'll get a platform. So yeah, it's been extremely energizing and just kind of amazing how easily it took off. You know, I think it's that synergy between freelancers who are interested in what ISMAP can offer and ISMAP, you know, under Rob Mathias's leadership, honestly, like just like running toward this. So it's been pretty amazing. Yeah.
But it's amazing. You can start something very easily, and people can join in, and then it becomes a bit of a snowball, as it were, or whatever the right expression is. But then the question comes, and we've had a couple of questions coming in about how much time you're spending on it. Are you worrying about that? You're trying to do your freelance work at the same time. Again, just briefly, Lisa, and then I'm going to bring the other two in. How much time are you already finding you're having to spend on this?
And I loved when Rebecca was talking. I was thinking, do you get work done? You know, I'm struggling. I'm still like keeping pace with my paid work, but it is a challenge because this is so much fun. It's so energizing. And it's not, I can't put numbers on it, but I probably spent, 40 hours on this, in the last, couple of months. Like, I'm assuming it's going to calm down. Peter, I'm not assuming I'm going to make this full-time, like, project the way you do. Because I can't, monetizing this, right? I'm not trying to, bring in any money off of this. All of this is free. And, I'm happy to do it. My son said, my son is, almost 30, and said to me, Mom, I think you're giving back. I'm in my 50s and I'm like, actually, I feel like I'm giving back a little. Like I'm trying to create a channel for people who are new, to find their way into this niche of medical writing. And like, I'm so excited about that. And I'm so grateful, that it's created.
Well, little warning from me, look at me, I'm looking completely wrecked. This is what it does to you when it just sort of takes over your life, okay? So there's a danger in there. But again, let's talk to the others. Amanda, you say a few words on this. How are you finding juggling the work plus juggling some of this sort of community activity? And in fairness, you did say there's got a couple other people involved in the group you're running. So how important is it that you've got a couple of people around to help you sort of thing?
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, from the beginning, I realized it's not possible for me to do it by myself. As Lisa and Rebecca already said, that it's lonely to be a freelancer. And then so when I started to organize this group, my vision is I needed someone to run together with me. So it's like it's from the beginning, I need one, or now we have another two colleagues to run with me. So I think I already take it into consideration the time factor into it. So it's not so time consuming because of a few factors, like we hold quarterly Zoom events. And so it's like every 3 months. And then because it's online, previously I also volunteered for on-site events, and it's so much more time consuming. So now with Zoom it's much better. And then there are three of us organizing. And then also recently I brought in a assistant to my business. And then because there are lots of admin stuff like promotion, managing on the event, and then afterwards also a lot of admin stuff. So I have additional help in my business. So I think combining together, it is pretty manageable.
Okay. Rebecca, same question to you. You do a lot on LinkedIn, Rebecca. And I know that it takes quite a lot of time. So again, how are you juggling it?
It does. It takes a lot of time. I would say, I think the best way to say it's really a labor of love. It's something that is fulfilling. I think that time is what drives you to put in the extra time. But it takes a few hours a week, to be honest. Especially the social media work and, creating content that looks good out there and promotes the brand of Medcoms. I would say that it is fulfilling in that sense. It doesn't make it as hard or onerous. It doesn't sound like...
We've lost you, Rebecca. We're having trouble with our South African connection there. Sorry, Rebecca, can you hear us? Okay, I'm going to have to move on, Rebecca. Sorry, we are having some problems with your connection. Sorry. She's coming and going. We'll try again in a moment. Just try and give us a flavour. I talk to freelancers who don't see the point of joining in with groups like this, okay? They work. They haven't got time to go and join in with the group. It's going to cost them too much. It's going to, even just time. Time is money, Peter. You don't understand, Peter. Time is money. And I do understand. I just think it's important to invest in yourself and so on. So that's where I sit. Lisa, you've touched on this already, but just say a few words to those people who are wondering whether it's really, really beneficial to join in with groups like this. What would you get out as a freelancer of groups like this?
You know, and so mostly I'm talking sort of in terms of like I'm a conduit to ISMAP, right? And why would a freelancer engage with ISMAP? You know, I think two things. One is client building, right? Because when you go to ISMAP meetings or you engage with people at ISMAP, these are your potential clients. They literally are. You know, this is when I went freelance, I went down the ISMAP member directory and I looked for people I knew who worked at different major agencies and I reached out to them and that's how I got work, right? So when I go to ISMAP meetings, I'm schmoozing with my clients and I'm cultivating clients. That's a large reason for being part of ISMAP for me. The other thing is training, right? So especially when you come out of academia, and if you didn't start in a full-time position, there's a lot about pharma-sponsored research and pharma-sponsored publications that's very different from academia. The expectations, the ethics, good publication practice is a whole thing, right? And it being part of ISMAP or studying and obtaining the ISMAP credential, the CMPP, those are like ways that you make yourself valuable to your clients and make yourself knowledgeable and helpful, you know, and able to get work, you know, have them keep coming back to you is because you become a real professional within this context of medical writing. So I always encourage freelancers to be active members of ISMAP, and then for experienced writers to stay up to date on current trends. So right now it's like, gee, I'm going to have a patient author on this publication. What are the expectations for me about how I would work with them? Or they're asking me to do a digital enhancement to this manuscript. What does that mean? You know, and what, you know, what, how am I going to play a role in that? Like, so if you're an active member of a professional organization in your field, you keep up to date on those kinds of trends, right? So I think we're lucky in publications to have an organization like ISMAP where we can do that, right? So if I don't know, like in regulatory writing, there would be some other organization that would fill that role. But in my niche, you know, this is like, we're really, really lucky to have this. And it is, you know, it is an investment. The membership's like $250 a year. And I hope any freelancer would see that as money well spent. Attending the meetings is another whole thing, you know, and not every freelancer is going to be able to swing that. But there's a lot of online offerings at ISMAP as well. There are monthly ISMAP U sessions. There's a newsletter. There's podcasts, you know. So like just being a member, like you avail yourself of all that content that's all coming at you, a lot of which is available online.
Okay. But well, I suppose what I'm trying to get at, Amanda, you know, is as a freelancer, I think several of you have said it can be quite lonely and isolating sort of thing. I mean, just being able to talk to other like-minded people, sometimes just a gossip and a piece of cake actually is hugely useful, isn't it? Amanda, just we've only got a moment or so, but just would you agree with me?
Yeah, exactly. And also for our group, like I think client acquisition can be very important by joining such groups. Like in our group, personally, because I run my own business, I also need to get clients, right? And then because of running my group, not like I do it to get clients, but then as a byproduct, I do get clients from running this group. So I hope that can already encourage people to join. And also another thing is I have referred projects for to freelancers in my group. So both ways, actually, client acquisition can be a very important thing to join such groups. And then also to Lisa's point, I just wanted to echo Lisa that I'm also a member of ISMAP and I'm also a CMPP. And our group is actually now also focused on pubs. And our last event in June was approved for one CMPP continuing education credit. And we are very happy and we think that's a milestone because it's important for freelancers and employees alike to have more ways for recertification. As we already discussed that going to ISA meetings can be expensive. So I think we are excited about that and we will continue to do so in the future. If I can say it as one of the looking into the future thing that we plan to do.
Okay. We've run out of time. Rebecca, are you hearing us?
Can you hear you, Peter?
Excellent. Just leave your video up and just see if we can just have a final word from you. How have you, same sort of idea, you know, isolated, maybe a bit lonely as a freelancer, you know, lots of benefits from being able to talk to people in a similar position, yeah?
Yep.
I'm just going to get a yes for that.
100%, yeah.
Oh, okay, you're back on. Okay, look, we're struggling with you, Rebecca, sorry. Look, I think it's fascinating. I mean, we could talk longer. I know we could. There's a number of people in the audience asking for details, your details and so on. So the easy way is to find you on LinkedIn. I will certainly be sending out details and so on, and they'll be accompanying this video. But basically, anybody can contact you via LinkedIn and follow up on this, okay? Apologies for technical problems, but I think that was still absolutely fascinating. I'm absolutely delighted that you could all come in from the different parts of the world like this. I hope people will connect with you. I wish you all the luck in the world with your own communities. The more of these sorts of communities, the better. And my message to anybody out there who is looking at this is basically go and have a look at these communities, but look at all the other communities. And then if at the end of the day, the communities don't quite serve what you want, then go and set up your own. It is very easy to start to do something. And I would just encourage people to go and talk to each other, basically. Oh, we've lost Rebecca again. Right, that's a hint to me to shut up. I will stop the recording there. Everybody, please quick wave, and we'll say good luck to everybody, and take care. Take care. Bye.